believe that he will make a way when there does not seem to be a way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, turn there with me. Last Sunday night, we were describing from Isaiah 64, Isaiah's revival prayer. Isaiah's revival prayer. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. Amen. That was Isaiah's revival prayer. This morning, we want to look at Habakkuk's revival song. Habakkuk's revival song. This is chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 17, 18, and 19 also of chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech, was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine hind places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Amen. Now, this is a prayer of Habakkuk, but even more than a prayer, this is a song of Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk was a prophet just before that Nebuchadnezzar's armies came in and took the strong and the majority of those out of Israel and Judah into captivity. And his calling and his work of ministry and prophecy was just before this happened. And he spoke to those, and the Lord allowed him to see what was happening, what was coming. And so when you read in chapter 1, you can read about what he was about to see. It says in chapter 1 in verse number 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, what was revealed to him by the Lord. He saw the great and terrible things that were going to happen. And if you read through chapter 1, you'll see the description of these armies that were going to come in, and they were going to lead the children of Israel into captivity. And so his calling, his ministry as prophet, that was really, it's a short little message here, 3 chapters, and we don't know much about Habakkuk. It's like he just came out of obscurity and began to speak as a voice in that particular time of need. And God used him to speak and to speak to this generation and all the things that they were going to experience, the horribleness of what they were going to experience. Now, it's not just an Old Testament message. It's a very important message that's very relevant to what's going on in our lives today, in our nation today. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul quoted from Habakkuk at least 9 different times. He quoted from this prophet, and he was living hundreds of years after the prophet, but yet he spoke concerning what was going to happen and how that it was a message that would transcend just what was going on in the day of Habakkuk. And so it starts off with this depressing, discouraging, gloomy situation that he was talking about. But in chapter 2, you see that he's been encouraged to the point that he says, I'm going to, chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, I'm going to stand upon my watch. I am going to get up on the tower, and I'm going to watch and see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And so he was
Just saying, he was encouraged enough to believe that in the midst of all of this calamity, that God was going to speak, and he was going to give counsel, and he was going to direct them and to lead them in the way that they should go. And then in chapter 3, it says that this is a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. Isn't that a weird-sounding word? Well, the word literally means when something is put to music, when something is put to a song. It's like a poem or a verse that is sung. That's what the word means. But it doesn't just mean a song, but the only two places in the Scripture where that word is used is in our text here, and you can see the calamity that they're up against and all that they're faced with. The other place that it's used is in Psalm 7. It's in Psalm 7, and the verse number 1, where it says, Shigion of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush, the Benjamite. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Now Cush was also Shimei. It's the same person. Shimei was that guy that whenever David was being had to leave the palace, had to leave Jerusalem because of his son Absalom, and really he's literally running for his life. He's got a band of men with him, his mighty men that are with him, and he is running for his life, hiding in caves from his own son. I can't imagine a lower time. David had some low times in his experience, but this had to be either the lowest or one of the lowest times that his own son would betray him. His own son would take over his kingdom and run him out of his own palace. But to make matters worse, they get just a little ways out of the city, running away from Absalom. And here he comes up against this guy by the name of Cush or Shimei. And Shimei comes out and he begins to curse David. And he picks up rocks and he throws rocks at him. And the Bible says that all of David's mighty men, they gather around him. It's kind of like, you know, the security that gets around the president or the governor. They all get around him to protect him. And one of the mighty men said, let me go and take this mad dog's head off. Let me kill him. And David said, no, leave him alone. Let him alone. This is of God. This is of God. Let him curse and let him throw stones. Now, this is the occasion of this Psalm 7 being written. That's the only other place where that word that's kind of funny to pronounce, Shigionoth, that means something put to song. But it means more than a song. It means a song in bad times. It means a song in troubling circumstances. A song that comes to you whenever you're in difficult times. And you'll find that this is true many places in the Scripture. And many of you, no doubt, have experienced the same thing, going through troubles, trials, challenging times, and somehow out of nowhere, actually you don't know where it come from except it was the Spirit of God that just began to speak to you, and God gives to you a song, and that song just lifts you up out of your discouragement and out of your despair, because it is this word here, it is this Shigionoth. Amen. It is a song of revival. It is a song of life that God brings you up out of your despair and up out of your circumstance. This is the song that Habakkuk is singing. Psalm 42 in verse number 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. Amen. Don't you know that God can give to you a song in the nighttime of your life? Amen. When you're going through sickness, when you're going through discouragement, when you're going through trouble and sorrow and needs in your life, needs in your family, and you don't know what to do or where to turn, God gives to you a song and lifts you up out of your despair and out of your hopelessness. That's what the Lord can do. Psalm 77 in verse number 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Hallelujah. I bring back to remembrance the times that God gives to us a song in the night. He restores our soul. He lifts us up in our despair and our discouraging times. Psalm 134 and verse number 1, a song of degree is what the preface is here to this psalm. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Amen. It's believed that not only were there those who ministered in the temple of the Lord through the daylight hours, but there were also those who kept the lamps burning, and those who ministered in the house of the Lord, even through the nighttime hours. And the psalmist is talking about those that are ministering in the house of God, that even in the middle of the night, that there's still a song and a place of praise and a place of worship, even in the night hour, even in the difficult times. Amen. Remember Anna the prophetess? There in the book of Luke, chapter 2, it says of her that she was a widow of 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Amen. Glory to God. Let me tell you, we do go through things. We do have times where we can't see that God could make a way. It doesn't seem possible that He will work in the situation. But my experience has been in some of the worst and the most difficult times that God has ministered to me and lifted me up. And He's given to me a song in my heart. He has blessed me and helped me in the midst of my trouble. And He'll do that for you too. Hallelujah. He'll bring you up out of your discouragement. Last weekend, we talked about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. They had been beaten. They had been mistreated, placed in stocks. They're in the deepest part of the prison. It's a horrible situation that they are in pain, and with the worst of the criminals, and no doubt condemned to death. But something happened at the midnight hour. God just began to restore them with a song. Amen. Paul and Silas, they did a duet in the middle of the night in the innermost part of that prison. The Bible says in verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Amen. You see, that's the thing that sets us apart from the world and from everyone else around us, that God gives you a song. He gives the saints of God something that restores your soul and lifts you up out of the predicament that you're in. I believe that Habakkuk's song was a song of revival. It was a song of the possibilities of what God can do. Because in chapter 1, he's faced with the gloom of the depression of prophesying concerning the judgment of God. But in chapter 2, he says, no, I'm going to climb back up on that tower, and I'm going to stay there in my place of duty, and I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to wait until I hear from the Lord. And finally, he does hear from the Lord, because in chapter 3, it says he sings this song unto the Lord. And this is an unconditional song. He said, even though that the fig tree doesn't blossom and the fruit tree, it's not fruitful, even though the olive is failing and the field is yielding no meat, the flock is cut off from the field and there are no herds in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You may not see the evidence of God working and moving in your situation. You may not see the evidence of revival or a move of God. You may be personally under an attack. And I know many of you are. You're facing all kinds of challenges. You are under the attack of the enemy. We're under the attack of the enemy. The church is under an attack of the enemy. Physical needs and all different types of situations that the enemy is trying to use to destroy your life, your family, and the work of God right here. But we don't look at those circumstances, because that song that he gives to us, it is not conditional to what's going on in our life. It is not dependent upon what we see with our physical eyes. We're going to have to see beyond that. That's why the Bible says that Habakkuk climbed up on that tower in that place of duty, and he waited upon the Lord. You're going to have to get up above all of these things that are going on in your life. Get your eyes off of your trouble and your trial, your sickness, your worries, your fears, You're going to have to get your eyes off all of those things and wait until you hear from God. And then we will believe God to work and to move in our behalf. Hallelujah. You notice that in this psalm, or in this song of Habakkuk, that in verse 2, it also starts off with the same kind of an expression or cry that we talked about last Sunday night, is Isaiah's revival prayer. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. And here he says, oh, Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Now, in case you think that this is something, that this is a depressing situation, no, he's heard from God. And now he's crying. This is a prayer, or actually a song unto the Lord, where he's crying out to the Lord with fervency from the depth of his soul. The song is coming. Oh, Lord, you see the predicament that our nation is in. You see the predicament that the church is in and what the people of God are facing. You see, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, we've heard your speech and we were afraid. Now, it's describing here, the speech is a word from God. It's talking about God's voice. We have heard the voice of the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, if you can hear the voice of God, you can make it. If you can hear from God, if God speaks to your heart and you hear the word of the Lord, you can make it. You can depend upon the word of the Lord. He said, we've heard your speech. We've heard your word. And we were afraid. The word there doesn't mean afraid like in fear of God. It really, the word means in awe of God. It means we've heard your word, Lord, and we're in awe of what you are going to do. We're in awe of how that you can work in our behalf. We're amazed in what you can do. The most common revival scripture is 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's what it says. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. And then he says, then I'll hear from heaven. Amen. Like we talked last Sunday night, that God will open up heaven and God will begin to work and he'll begin to speak and manifest himself among us. And that is exactly what this song of revival is about. Oh God, your voice, whenever you speak, then Lord, we stand in awe of your greatness and your power. You know, when you hear the word of the Lord, it strengthens you. It encourages you. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. D.L. Moody once said, I used to think that if I wanted to increase my faith, that I just needed to close my Bible and ask God for faith. But then I learned that I need to keep my Bible open, because it was there that if I asked the Lord for faith, that it was the word of God that was the source of that faith. Amen. Amen. We need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from God. Revival comes whenever the people of God begin to hear the voice of God. And we stand in awe of what he is doing and how he is working among us. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. I was in awe at the word of the Lord. Oh, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Lord, revive thy work. And one of the commentators translated it this way. Lord, preserve alive the work of the body, the work of the church. Preserve it alive. Keep it alive, oh Lord, that the work of God, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would not die, but it would be vibrant, alive, filled with the life of God and the power of the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, revive thy work. Revive thy work. What do we need to do? Spurgeon said, asking is the rule of the kingdom. Don't be afraid to ask. We have not because we ask not. That's why almost every day, sometimes several times a day, I ask the Lord, Lord, would you heal Brother Huff's lungs? Lord, would you work and heal his lungs? Open up the breathing and his capacity to breathe. Why? And then I will often say, Lord, and I'm asking you this because I want your name to be glorified. Because I know that as soon as you heal him, that not only in our church, but on the radio and everywhere he goes, he is going to be demonstrating. He's going to testify of the name of the Lord and his power to heal. Amen. So, Lord, whenever you heal him, it's going to be glory and honor to your name. Amen. So upon that basis, Lord, heal his lung. Ask the Lord for revival. And be specific about what you want God to do and how that you want him to work. Express your heart. Express your desire. He wants us to ask him. He desires that we come to him and that we present our desire and our need before the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, revive your work. Revive the work in the ministry of First Pentecostal Church. Revive us, Lord, so that the work of God that's going on right here, Lord, that it'll have such a mighty effect upon people all over this community. How is that going to happen? Personally, you're going to have to ask the Lord to revive you. I'm going to have to ask the Lord, and I have been. Lord, revive me. Help me, Lord. Revive me. Lord, give me new life and new fire and new zeal and new anointing. God, come with a fresh touch of God, and may it rest upon every one of us here in this church. Amen. Then we'll be experiencing the revival. The song is, oh, Lord, revive your work. Oh, Lord, revive your work. In the midst of the years, and you notice that he uses this phrase twice. Revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. Revive your work in the midst of the years. And in the midst of the years, what's it talking about? He was talking about present tense. Right now, Lord, in the midst of all this trouble and this calamity that we're in, and I don't have to enumerate all the circumstances and the problems that we're in. I don't have to get political to say we're in a mess in the United States of America. We've got all kinds of problems, moral problems, money problems. We've got leadership problems. We've got so many needs in this country. The basic need, of course, is a return to God and return to the Word of God. And so what he is saying is in the midst of the years, right now in this present calamity that we're in, not past, not future, but Lord, right now, in the midst of what we're experiencing in our need right now, Lord, revive the work, revive the church right now in the present need that we have. Amen. I'm thoroughly convinced that the only way that if there is a hope for this nation at all to turn around, it all hinges upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It hinges upon us, the church, and the churches all over this country. If the churches don't get back to God, back to righteousness, back to purity, back to holy living, if the church does not get back to separating ourselves from the world and loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being, if we don't get back to that place of renewing ourselves in the Spirit of God and being a vibrant army that's moving forward for the kingdom of God, then this nation is hopeless. There's no hope outside of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where the hope lies, and it ought to burden you. It ought to be something that greatly concerns you. And when you pray, Lord, revive the church, and Lord, we need that revival now. I don't know if we can wait 6 months. I don't know if we can wait another year. I know you've got situations. I've got situations. I've got a lot of reasons why that this is not a good week to be seeking the Lord and be in revival. I could be a lot of other places doing a lot of other things, and you know, we're all under the pressure of circumstances. But let me tell you, it's not as important as the urgency of the hour that we're in right now. Amen. I ask you, and I really plead with you, to put your heart into this week. I'm pleading with you. To call upon the Lord like you haven't ever prayed before, to seek the Lord, to be in these meetings, to sacrifice, to give of yourself, and to let God see that your heart is after him. You're pursuing the things of God in the midst of the years. Right now, in the present predicament that we're in, Lord, we need you to come. We need you to come down so that the mountains will flow down at thy presence. Hallelujah. In the midst of the years, he says, that's his song. Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. What do we need? We need God to reveal himself.
We need God to reveal His mighty hand. We need the Lord to show Himself mighty and strong, that He would, in these present times, make Himself known among us. Hallelujah. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. We're talking about in Sunday school this morning the importance of mercy. And quite obviously, this nation is under judgments of God. The reason that we have the trillions and trillions of debt that we do in this country, debt is a judgment of God. Because this nation is turned from God, is not trusting God, and it is not following the principles of God's word, then we're under this burden of debt that's growing by the billions of dollars every week. It's staggering, and it's weakened our nation to such a place now that we're moving toward becoming a servant nation instead of the mighty, powerful nation that it once was. Amen. If your trust is in government, God help us. Our trust cannot be in government. While government is established by God and it has its place, but we do not trust our lives and our futures to the government. We trust in the Lord our God. We're trusting Him to be our help, to be our supplier. He's the one that will provide what we are in need of in these last days. Hallelujah. Oh, we're faced with such a moral, unbelievable moral situation in our country now. Those who stand for righteousness are made fun of. Christians are made a mockery of. Those who stand up for what, 20, 30 years ago was normal as far as of a righteous stand, as far as the morality of our nation is concerned. And now you're a mockery. You're being put under pressure to succumb to what they believe is a social agenda or even a civil rights agenda. It's all being twisted, and it's being promoted from every angle. And the church is now being put at this terrible position to where now preachers of the gospel who are well known all over this nation are backing up and saying, well, I'm not gonna judge people. I'm not gonna judge people. They're so afraid to stand for what's right that now we have, but no one knows what's right. That's how righteousness is known in a nation. Whenever the pulpits were revived, back in the early Great Awakenings, in the early history of this nation, it did not come from the government. It came because the preachers of the gospel and the churches began to get revived. And they began to thunder from the pulpits the word of God and calling out against sin and began to asking the people to cry out to God for mercy. Then God sent revival all up the eastern coast because men like Jonathan Edwards and others that God used, they stirred revival. It came because the pulpits of the land began to declare the word of the Lord, and they established the standard of what is right in our country by the word of God. But now that the word of God is cast out, it's made fun of, it's ridiculed, then we have no standard except just the whims of men that what they think is right. And now it puts us under the judgment of God, facing judgment. Oh, it's a critical time, an important time. In wrath, remember mercy. We need to ask God in this prayer for revival, in this song of revival. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, we know we deserve the judgment of God. We know, Lord, that America has gone too far. We're under the wrath of God, under the judgment of God, and we're gonna fear the fierceness of God upon this nation. But Lord, would you just hold back your fierce wrath? It's only the church that can pray that kind of a prayer. Lord, would you keep the day of grace and mercy open? Would you give us more opportunities, Lord, to touch people and change the lives of people? Hallelujah. Oh, I believe that God can give to us in the midst of all of this circumstance. God can revive us, and He can give us hope and confidence. He can stir us with a song of praise unto the Lord. All this is going on, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This is depicting what happens in
the life of the believer and the life of the church whenever they begin to experience the blessing and the favor of God, even though we do not deserve it. Lord, we just joy and we rejoice in the God of our salvation. We rejoice in what you are doing. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the midst of all the things that are going on around us, I believe that we as the church, we have hope. We have hope in His Word. Thus we have a song in our heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That song is, Lord, you're going to revive your work. Lord, you can do mighty hands. You can make yourself known among us. Lord, you can show mercy to a people who do not deserve mercy. And we thank you and we rejoice in the God of our salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Important times this week. An important week. An important week. Let's seek the Lord. Let's believe God. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Why do we rejoice? We rejoice because we hear from God. We rejoice because He has promised that He will revive His people. We rejoice that in the midst of the dark hour of the spiritual needs of this nation and of the church world, that God can give us a song in the middle of this night. God can revive us in the middle of all of this darkness and can do wonderful, mighty things. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I can just about go to every family here. And I know some of the things that you're up against. Most of you, I know some of the burdens you carry, needs that you have, all different kinds of situations that you have. What's the answer? What's the way to deal with it in this time of need? Do we just retreat from God and back up and think we just hope that everything will get better? Is that what we do? Oh, no. Oh, no. We get that cry deep down in our heart, in our soul, like Isaiah had. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. We get that same cry in our heart that Habakkuk had. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Revive your work. Oh, Lord. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh, God. Make yourself known. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. And out of the depths of your spirit, you cry unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He hears the cry of His people. He hears the cry of the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. I ask you this week to break out of your what you regularly do spiritually and to pursue God with your heart. Amen. Amen. You don't normally come on Sunday night or revival services. Just purpose in your heart. Lord, I need help. I need help from God. My family's in need. There's so many needs. So, Lord, I'm going to come and I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to climb up on that tower and I'm going to wait to hear from you, Lord. That's what Habakkuk did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he waited and he heard from the Lord. And as a result of that, God gave him a song of hope. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Before I invite all of you to come to this altar, I just want to take a moment and ask you, those of you here at this service, that you really need help from God. You really need some answers. You need God to move for you, your personal life, your family, whatever it is that you're up against. You need help from God, and you'll step out as an expression of your faith in God. Is an expression of your confidence that God is your hope. He's your hope. You'll step out and you'll come here to the front of this building. Amen. And begin to cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I welcome you to come. Anybody, you've got problems, you've got needs, you're faced with worry, circumstances in your life, in your family, whatever that you're up against, and you must hear from God. You must hear the voice of the Lord.
and you'll come here to the front of this building as an expression of your faith in God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to hear from the Lord. This altar is open. Why don't you come and let's get help from the Lord. Whatever you're in need of here, let's trust the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we do thank you, Lord Jesus. Minister, Lord, in a mighty